Astronomy is always changing, and new ideas come to light each year, sometimes greatly expanding our understanding of the universe, and sometimes are just proven wrong. This is an ongoing process, it's science, so here are 10 recent, but somewhat odd, astronomical possibilities that are expanding our thinking on how we view the universe. Number 10. Expanding habitability. Not long ago, just a few decades really, life on other worlds was envisioned mostly as a surface phenomenon of planets. Worlds like Venus and Mars were actually assumed to be inhabited because, superficially at least, they appeared to be very similar to Earth, to the instruments of the time. Venus being envisioned as a hot jungle world, and Mars as hosting a civilization building canals and plotting against humans. But as we learned the rules on how these worlds actually worked, typically through flybys of early space probes, we found that these worlds were nothing like what was envisioned, Venus being a hell world and Mars a cold desert. These did not seem to be likely abodes of life, but through the further study of those worlds, we have found that at one time, they are both believed to have had long periods where liquid water persisted on their surfaces, and the conditions, so far as we understand them, existed for life to have a genesis on either of those planets in addition to Earth. Fast forward to now, our understanding of how resilient Earth life is and how conditions of habitability still exist in diminished form on both Venus and Mars has led to a revival of the idea of both of those planets still hosting and possibly hinting of microbial life, Venus particularly with the recent detection of phosphine gas in its atmosphere. Life may yet hang on in the relatively clement upper atmosphere of Venus, and may be hinting through strange dark bands that appear in the Venusian atmosphere. On Mars, it's below the surface, where liquid water still exists, and with it the possibility of subsurface life that hints through phenomena like seasonal methane blooms, that while could be geologic in origin, might also be biological. But it doesn't end there. Also discovered have been a plethora of ice shell worlds, where oceans of liquid water are locked under ice that might provide an abode for microbial or even complex life. These places are many in number in the solar system, including Enceladus and Europa. But even the asteroid Ceres seems to host reservoirs of slushy liquid water, and with the same possibility of water found also at Pluto. Similarly, the Kuiper Belt objects are on the table for possibilities for life, despite being located very far from the Sun. But now the net is cast even further, with conjectural abodes for life now including the atmospheres of brown dwarfs and gas giant planets, and even rogue planets wandering without stars in the interstellar medium, and even the intergalactic medium, where liquid water in some circumstance could be sustained by geothermal heating through the radioactive decay of elements in the cores of those worlds. Even the universe itself was once warm enough for the entirety of it to have had a short-lived epoch of habitability, and while life may not have formed during that period, at least the conditions were there for a time, essentially everywhere. The point is, the more we think about habitability and just what that means, the more places seem to unlock in the universe for life, at least at some point in time. Perhaps some currently inhospitable appearing places, like planets around red dwarfs, or places that are not yet habitable, being more habitable than we might currently think. Number 9. How many habitable worlds can a star have? While our own solar system has had 3 nominally Earth-like planets as far as habitability, only one has remained so. There are complex reasons for why Mars and Venus did not remain habitable, but one question remains. Under ideal circumstances, how many Earth-like worlds can a star system have? The answer is 7. In a study by Stephen Kane and colleagues, link in the description below, they looked at the TRAPPIST-1 system, which is known to host 3 worlds within its habitable zone that might support liquid water. But even then, that system isn't ideal. So what happens when you have just the right type of star, and just the right type of planetary dynamics, such as the lack of a gas giant to destabilize orbits? The orbital dynamics of a younger star system, known to have somewhat larger habitable zones, and the presence of a larger, hotter star could have up to 7. With a star like our own Sun, 6 planets with at least transient liquid water could be possible under exactly the right conditions. On the other hand, it has been said that Jupiter in our own system helped life on Earth by clearing out asteroids, It's unknown if a lack of a gas giant is a showstopper for life, but if not, then it could be the rule that rocky worlds like Earth are rather common, with multiple examples possible around sun-like stars. And there are also the ice shell possibilities like Europa, that greatly extend habitability in star systems, further raising the possibility of life, at least microbial, being very common in the universe. Number 8. The sudden instability of Betelgeuse. The prominent night sky star Betelgeuse is known for many distinctions, including being one of the few stars large enough and close enough to have its disk directly imaged, and for its prominent red color to be visible to the naked eye. Betelgeuse is also known for being a giant star nearing the supernova stage. This titanic explosion is expected to be soon in geologic terms, within about 100,000 years or possibly more. But in human terms, it's highly unlikely to occur within any given lifetime, but it will happen within someone's lifetime. Or is that really the case? Last year, Betelgeuse began to exhibit a period of very deep dimming, where the star became significantly fainter than normal by about two-thirds. General variability with the star is normal, but such marked drops in brightness are unusual, leading some to speculate that it may be preparing to explode. The reason for the dimming was unknown, and a leading explanation at the time was that the star was simply being obscured by dust in the surrounding environment, and after that, the star seemed to recover to something close to normal brightness. That would have been the end of the story, but two things have very recently developed. One is that researchers found that the reason for the dimming was actually the star itself. Hot material was welling up from the interior of the star, cooling and forming dust grains, and then they were being expelled and blocking light. In other words, it's the star itself doing it, not the environment around it. The second thing is that the star wasn't visible from Earth for some months because of being behind the sun, so no one really knew what it was doing, though a reasonable assumption was that it was returning to normal. Now, the first space-based observations for the year are in, and it's back in the night sky, and it's still not normal. Betelgeuse's brightness is still varying. What this new drop in brightness means remains to be seen. Number 7. The Sun May Not Have Been Alone. It is believed that about half of all sun-like stars in the Milky Way have companion stars forming binary star systems. Why the Sun has no such companion has been an open question, and indeed there was a hypothesis decades ago that the Sun might have a dim, difficult to detect red dwarf companion orbiting distantly, though this is now no longer thought to be plausible. So if the Sun is alone as a star, was it always that way? Could the Sun once have had a companion star and somehow lost it? In a paper by Avi Loeb and Amir Siraj, link below, they detail that if the Sun had an early binary companion of similar mass, it might explain the formation of the Oort cloud as we see it today, aspects of the formation of which have been difficult to model until now. This companion would have been present very early on, when the Sun was still within its birth cluster, and now would be long gone. At some point, the gravitational influence of another star in the cluster would have removed the companion, but left the material it helped to accumulate around the Sun in the Oort cloud. But this also has implications for another odd hypothesis, that a ninth planet lies out there, and is affecting the orbits of objects in the outer solar system. If this is the case, then this binary star hypothesis might provide an origin for Planet 9, in that it was originally a planet orbiting the Sun's former companion, and was captured by our Sun from it. Only further searching will prove or disprove the existence of this planet. As to whatever happened to the Sun's companion, we'll likely never know, since it could literally be anywhere in the galaxy by now. But there is one oddity here. The star HD186302 is so close to the Sun in composition that it at least had to have formed in the same cluster as the Sun. It's also nearly identical to the Sun, only slightly larger, and seems to be exactly the same age. Other stars very similar chemically to the Sun and almost certainly from the same stellar nursery have also been found, though none are as close as HD186302. It's possible that this star is the Sun's long-lost companion, or at least a close cousin. And given that the Sun clearly has planets, including one with a civilization on it, it's not a far stretch to suspect that this might be the case for any other siblings of the Sun from the same stellar nursery, since they would have had all the same available materials. Perhaps somewhere out there, the former twin of the Sun also hosts planets and life. Number 6. Vanishing stars. Stars really don't like to just disappear. They tend to either violently explode and then leave some remnant, such as a white dwarf, black hole, or neutron star, along with a bunch of easily detectable dust and gas. Or they fade away like the sun, well, after its red giant stage, to leave, well, a detectable white dwarf. Small stars like red dwarfs just persist and will continue to do so for trillions of years. What stars won't normally do is just simply go away. If they do, then it's reasonable to look at options beyond nature for an explanation, such as the activities of an alien civilization. Disappearing stars as a technosignature has been of recent interest within astronomy. If you can't think of an immediate, natural way for something to happen, such as the disappearance of a star, then other options eventually come onto the table as you rule out natural causes. But it's important to remember that other things can dim or make a star disappear, such as a cloud of dust or gas obscuring it. And there are unusual natural options, such as the possibility of a star, under certain conditions, to collapse directly into a black hole without a corresponding supernova. But anomalies have been found, in fact, quite a few of them. The VASCO project, for example, has found at least 100 good examples and over 150,000 candidates of very red sources that appear to be stars or something like stars that simply disappeared or flat out appeared over a very short period of time in past sky surveys, on the order of decades rather than centuries. Whatever causes this is likely to be of astrophysical origin, though unusually so, as far as we know. But something else may be at play. Only time and more research will tell. Number 5. Neutrinos do strange things. Neutrinos have always been rather odd things due to their ability to only weakly interact with anything else. For example, most of the huge amounts of neutrinos streaming off the sun that encounter Earth simply pass through the planet and go on their way as though nothing happened. But occasionally, an interaction does occur, which allows us to detect neutrinos, and the more we study them, the odder they seem. Studying neutrinos in astronomy is of great importance. An example of this would be in detecting supernovas. Since neutrinos are so non-interactive and travel at near the speed of light, they will actually be the first thing we can detect from a supernova, as photons will have been delayed in the interior of the supernova explosion. We will see neutrinos from a supernova before we actually see the visible explosion. But neutrinos also offer some head-scratching mysteries. One of these involves Antarctica. Researchers working on that continent have in recent years detected neutrinos seemingly not coming from the sun, or anywhere for that matter. Further, they are traveling upwards from the ground rather than coming in from space. Where exactly these neutrinos are coming from is unknown, but more recent analysis has shown that they might actually not be neutrinos at all, but rather reflections of ultra-high energy cosmic rays striking compacted layers inside the glaciers beneath. We shall see. Number 4. The kilonova and gravitational waves. Gravitational wave astronomy was once thought by some to be out of reach. Experiments to pick up gravitational waves directly went without definitive results for years, but there were indirect hints that they existed. That was until 2015, when the first direct evidence of gravitational waves was detected. One cause of the gravitational waves that we can detect right now is the merger of two neutron stars, or a neutron star and a black hole, in a phenomenon known as a kilonova. In addition to sending out ripples in space-time, these titanic mergers also have another interesting effect. They produce gold, a lot of it. The debris formed during these mergers is rich in heavy metals like gold and platinum, giving one mechanism for how these metals are made in the universe, and in fact may be the origin for the gold and some of the other heavy metals here on Earth. But lurking out there in the galaxy are truly enormous amounts of precious metals, beyond far more than what we can ever find on our planet. Number 3. The closer you look, the stranger it can be. As our ability to study astronomy has improved with new, more precise equipment, the universe has been brought into unprecedented detail. Of course, with this new level of scrutiny is bound to come more mysteries, and few recent discoveries are more mysterious than the star HD 139139. This star at first glance appears rather familiar. The main component is a G-type star, very much like the Sun. There's also a companion star, believed to be a type K star. The Kepler data showed dips in the starlight from the system that, for all intents and purposes, look like exoplanets transiting one of the two stars, though it's still unclear which. And the dips kept coming, with 28 observed over several months. But the dips did not appear periodic, meaning they didn't seem to be the same planets passing by over and over, and other aspects of the light curves looked weird. Save for one transit, which was larger, all of the others looked like apparent planets, all just about the same size. That's weird. Potential explanations include a planet disintegrating, asteroids impacting each other, and even just sunspots on one of the two stars that don't last long. And it's very likely something like that causing it. But if you were an alien civilization that wanted to produce some kind of signal, and produce something that looked unnatural in order to announce their presence to the galaxy, they might do something like this. Create something so unnatural looking that anyone seeing it would have to conclude that it wasn't natural. That idea was advanced by astronomer Luke Arnold, that if you produce an unnatural looking signal in a light curve, such as a louver or unnatural shape passing in front of a star, other scientists in the galaxy might see that and know that a civilization was there. That's not likely the case with HD 139-139. It's very likely some odd astrophysical phenomenon that we simply haven't seen yet. But there's something else here. This star is one of just a 0.5% of stars in the galaxy that can actually see Earth transit the Sun if they had a photometer like the Kepler spacecraft. Just barely, but they could see us. But as we expand into space and build huge structures of our own, such as Dyson swarms and O'Neill cylinders, our star system might just begin to look very strange to some alien astronomers somewhere nearby in the Milky Way, and they will conclude that there must be a civilization here. Number 2. Our own world may hold the key to life in the universe. We've always mainly thought to look outward for evidence of alien life. This is only natural. It's much easier to prove that a radio signal from light years away is of truly alien origin than anything you might find locally. But there is an option within science to look for microbial life here on Earth that either had a separate genesis from our kind of life on Earth, or originated from somewhere else. Known as the shadow biosphere, the possibility of the presence of separate abiogenesis, or even a seeding of alien life on Earth through panspermia, is a tricky subject, as this kind of microbial life might actually be very difficult to detect using the equipment we have. But there is one possibility, the phenomenon known as desert varnish. This is a thin, layered yellow to black varnish that appears on exposed rock in very dry environments on Earth. The composition is mostly clay, which doesn't scream life, along with oxides of iron and manganese. Manganese is strange since it's fairly rare in the Earth's crust, and desert varnish seems to contain a lot of it, opening up the possibility for manganese concentrating microbes. And there's also the presence of organic matter within desert varnish. More recent studies have suggested that biochemistry isn't necessarily needed to form desert varnish. But oddly enough, desert varnish also seems to be an excellent environment for fossilizing microbes. This is important, since a recent discovery of what at least appears to be desert varnish on rocks on the surface of Mars suggests at least that there may be an easy surface method for searching for evidence of fossilized microbes on Mars. But if a true alien shadow biosphere is ever found here on Earth, or for that matter on other bodies in the solar system, it will tell us that life is likely very common in the universe. How often that life becomes a civilization remains to be seen. Number 1. We are far from isolated. In a way, in the history of science, we have always had a kind of separation against our inclusion in the universe at large. We saw the heavens, and then we saw the Earth, and generally we felt that we were either special or some backwater separate from the rest of everything else. This started to change when it became clear from the work of Jean Shoemaker that we are not separate from the solar system, but rather still subject to bombardment from comets and asteroids. And in the vast history of the Earth, we were much more subject to it in the past, as the surface of bodies like the Moon show. But that's still the solar system. What of the rest of the Milky Way? Well, as Oumuamua, the first confirmed interstellar object passing through the solar system, followed by the interstellar comet Borisov, we find that we are not in any way protected or isolated from the rest of the Milky Way either. This has led to a flurry of new thinking about what else might be passing through the solar system. Amir Siraj and Avi Loeb have pointed out in several recent papers, linked below, that we are not as isolated as we think. There may be evidence of subrelativistic particles shot out into space by nearby supernova that may have left tracks in lunar geology that we could study, or even interstellar meteoroids that could be tracked to have entered Earth's atmosphere. It's even possible that interstellar meteorites might land on Earth and survive for study. though we already have evidence of interstellar dust grains and very primitive meteorites that have been found on Earth, and even from probes we've sent into space. The bottom line here is that we are not isolated and are very much a part of the life of the Milky Way galaxy, and always have been, opening up the way for science in the not-so-distant future to study the environments of other star systems from the comfort of home. What might they find in comparison that is different out there to what we have here? It's an open question. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently wondering if intelligent life is rare in the universe again. Think about it, we spread into the galaxy and find almost nothing, and become rare other than here on Earth. But the aliens we do occasionally interact with end up like, "You believe in humans? I saw one once." And the other alien is like, "You're silly, humans don't exist." And sightings of us end up on the alien internet. Not good. And on that note, this has been a JMG sighting, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer. And subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.